Well, this morning we are coming again to looking at one of the I Am's, these transformational statements of Jesus Christ. And again, we start with the words of Malcolm Muggeridge. I say to you, I beg you to believe me, multiply these tiny triumphs. Muggeridge had a lot of fame, a lot of money, a lot of influence, a lot of power, a lot of adulation. He says, take all these things that I've done, multiply them by a million, and then add them all together, and they are nothing, less than nothing. They are a positive impediment measured against one drop of that living water that Christ offers to the spiritually thirsty, irrespective of who or what they are. My friend, remember what I said at communion. It didn't say that we eat the flesh of the Holy Spirit. We don't eat the flesh of the Father. We eat the flesh of the Son of God. It is about the person of Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, God has made known to us the mystery of God's will, according to God's kind intention, which God purposed in Jesus, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Everything is going to add up to Jesus Christ. God is going to take 500 billion, billion lights, and each light's going to have 500 billion, billion watts, and they're all going to be focused on His Son. Heaven is going to be about Jesus Christ. Heaven is not going to be about anything else, but about God who became a man and died to bring salvation to the world. And that's going to be our glory and our theme forever and ever. Forever and ever. That's it. That's it. What a price that needs the adulation for all of eternity. So this morning we look at the other I Am. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. There it is again. And I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. So this is our subject this morning. I am the good shepherd. Now let me tell you, first of all, why does Jesus use the word good shepherd? Why doesn't he say, I am the great shepherd? Why doesn't he say, I am the trusting shepherd? Why does he say good? The reason he uses the word good is because that's the derivation of the word God. The reason God is the name God that we translate is because it comes from the derivation of good. God is good. God is good in what he's done as a creator, as the person that we can look upon, as we can trust. God's underpinning truth is that he is a good God. He's not a dictator. He's a beneficent dictator. He's good. He wants our good. I want your good. And so he says, in a sense, I am the good shepherd. You could say, I am the God shepherd. I am the God-like shepherd that I will come and bring this life to. In fact, right before he says, I am the good shepherd, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Right before that, he says, I have come to give life and to bring it abundantly. So I am the God-like shepherd. I am the God shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now, before you have to understand how Jesus is a good shepherd, I want to talk a little bit about sheep. Because understanding sheep is going to help you to understand why he makes these words about what he is to us as a shepherd. And this really comes, I preached years ago on the 23rd Psalm. In fact, about 3 or 4 months on the 23rd Psalm. I know it's only 6 verses, but there's a lot there. And I want to tell you a few things about sheep based on the 23rd Psalm. First of all, sheep are very lowly educated. That's a nice way of saying they're dumb. You can train a dolphin. Anybody been to SeaWorld? You can go to Ringling Brothers and see elephants standing on their heels and people walking on their heads. Right? Am I right? You can see lions and tigers jumping through hoops and rolling over. You can see horses getting on their back and doing things and prancing and all these things. Anybody ever see a sheep do any of this stuff? Ever see a sheep jump out of the water, go through the hoop, get on its hind legs, dance around. In fact, you know, I remember once at a Suns game that intermission who had these dogs and he was flipping all these frisbees. You ought to see these dogs jumping up and getting the frisbee. You see a lamb do that? They don't have that capacity. They're dumb. They're dumb. They don't have that capacity. They can't be trained in those things. They don't have that ability. You know what else you have about sheep? That's why it says, by the way, in the 23rd Psalm, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'll talk about that in a moment. Another thing about sheep is that they eat too much. They do. They always have their face to the eating, and then suddenly they look up and they say, oh, where am I? Where am I? Where have I gone? Where have I gone? What's happened to me? I've fallen down. I can't get up. They eat too much. And that's why sometimes they end up at a place not sure where they are. Where am I? What's happened to me? That's why I said a moment ago, a little out of place, the rod and the staff comforts me. Sometimes they end up in a place where they need help and the shepherd comes and lifts them by his staff, or sometimes he gets them along the way because he realizes they're not going to keep up, and so he uses his rod to kind of guide them in that sense. Because they tend to be this way and eat too much, they're top heavy. You've seen sheep. They're top heavy. They have very skinny little legs. They're kind of heavy on the upper side. And they're very vulnerable. They can't run. They don't have this ability like a cat does. A cat meaning like a lion or a tiger or something. They're very, very vulnerable. They can't get away from danger very easily. They're somewhat clumsy. They'll fall over if they go going too much. There's no camouflage for sheep. They're white. Hello, here I am. Here I am, white. They're not gray or brown. Look at other animals that are gray or brown. White is like saying, below, behold, here I am. Look at me. God didn't give them something to protect themselves with. You know that? They don't have claws. They don't have horns. I know that goats do or rams do, but I'm talking about sheep. Sheep don't have horns to be able to protect them from their enemies. He didn't give them a claw to protect them. He didn't give them fangs. They're very, very vulnerable. This is true about sheep. And because of these facts, that they're very clumsy, that they're very dumb, that they're very top-heavy, that they're no camouflage, that they're very vulnerable, they get easily frightened, they get scared, they get spoofed very quick, they get confused very quickly. And they know they're this way. In fact, sometimes they don't know this way to their detriment. So my friend, we need a shepherd. We are sheep. We need a shepherd. To think that you can go through life without being hurt and injured and scarred and paranoia and psychological needs and emotional needs and spiritual needs and physical needs, you're dumb. People sometimes say to me, Lord, Pastor Sam, so-and-so has gone through a tragedy. How do they get through it? They don't get through it. They end up with hurts from it. Oh, they'll walk through it. They'll go through the motions of it, but they end up with hurts. They get mad at God. They get mad at people. They have estranged relationships. They get disturbed about things. They're questioning things. They can't hardly live with them. People don't make it through these things. They need help because we're very vulnerable, very vulnerable. We need a shepherd to look for us, care for us. Jesus said these words, and all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Now remember, look at the imagery here. He's out in he has these sheep, there's 99, and notice they're out in the open pasture. You don't usually leave sheep in the open pasture. You leave cows in the open pasture. That last week I was driving near Quartzsite for a concert, and it said, open plain, look for cattle. And there's no fences. It's an open field. It's an open pasture. But he has these 99, he's protecting them. And knowing that this one is out in the open pasture, he goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I mean, he doesn't just leave it back. He picks it up. He picks it up. He puts it on his shoulders. He's rejoicing. And when he comes, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I found my sheep which was lost. They didn't eat the sheep. He rejoiced that they found the sheep. Rejoice with me, I found the sheep And then Jesus gives us the conclusion. I tell you, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. If I go to chapter 10, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs in some other way. You see, sheep are not led in the open field. They're not in the open pasture. There's a sheep pen. And there's a reason why there's a sheep pen, to protect them and to guide them and to lead them and to watch over them. In verse 3, he says the same thing. To him, the doorkeeper. You don't have a doorkeeper to the range, but you have a doorkeeper to the sheep pen where the sheep are kept, because the sheep need this protection. Now, this story that Jesus gave to us is based upon probably the greatest story, the greatest picture that God gives to us about sheep and a shepherd in Ezekiel. And I want to go through this. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who has been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? You've been a shepherd, but a shepherd is there for the good of the sheep. You're not there for what's in it for me. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? You've been feeding yourselves. You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. You get your wool. You get your covering. You get your food. But what about the sheep? What about the needs of the sheep? Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken you've not bound up, the scattered you've not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you've dominated them, inferring that sheep are sickly and sheep are diseased and sheep need healing, and sheep are broken and sheep are scattered and sheep need to be brought back and sheep need to be sought for. They're lost, they're sickly, they're diseased, they're broken, they're scattered. Read on. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wanders through all the mountains and on every hill country. Remember, that's not the place they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be out in the open field. And on every hill, high hill, my flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the words of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has become food for all the beasts of the fields, or lack of a shepherd. My shepherd does not search for my flock, but rather shepherd feeds himself and does not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds. I will demand my sheep from them, make them cease from feeding sheep, so the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth, so that they may not be food for them. And then the most amazing words. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search my sheep and seek them out. I'm going to do it. God is going to become the shepherd. I myself will seek for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for the herd in that day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care. God is going to care for his sheep. I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a gloomy and cloudy day. I will bring them back. Notice how many times the word I is used. I will bring them out from the people and gather them to the countries and bring them to their own land. I will feed them the mountains of the Israel by streams and in the, all the inhabitants of the place of the land. I will do all these things. I will feed them in the good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights. Now imagine the Jewish mind hearing this, and then Jesus says, I'm that shepherd. I'm that shepherd. God says, I'm going to do this. I will send one that will do this. I will send one that will shepherd my people Israel and the world. I will feed them in the good pasture. Their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. They will lie down on good grazing ground, feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. I am the good shepherd and I know my own and my own knows me. So my friend, this is what Jesus is declaring. These verses, Ezekiel 34, all that God says, I'm going to do this. I will go and buy them. I will rescue them. I will search for them. I will help them. I will heed them. I will feed them. Jesus says, I am that God shepherd. I'm that God shepherd. I'm that God-like shepherd. Now let's go a step further. One of the reasons why Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd is because of the customs of the Middle East. The customs of the Middle East was that shepherding was perpetuity. You were a shepherd because the sheep were your perpetuity. What that means is that basically, sheep were not primarily used for food. Not primarily for food. In fact, my wife and I looked up some interesting information. Of course, you know you get clothing from the sheep, etc., but you also get dairy products. The milk from sheep was used for yogurt. If you go to the Middle East, you have this drinking yogurt, not the kind of wheat with a spoon. It's a drinking yogurt that's very tasty. It comes from sheep. So there was this perpetuity. There was this commitment to the sheep that you were with the sheep because the sheep continued to live. They were not like cows. Cows are raised for slaughter. Sheep are raised for perpetuity. So you have these wonderful words that Jesus gives to us, John 10:27. And in effect, you could almost use this with your hand. Now I'm going to show you something interesting. Watch my hand now. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You get that? Did you just see that? If you didn't, I'll do it again. My sheep hear my voice. There's this five-pronged promise that Jesus gives to us as the shepherd. And why does he give us this promise? Because of his commitment to us. This is a commitment that he makes to us because we belong to him. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life. I am the good shepherd and I know my own. Remember, let's go back. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Why does he make this statement? Because shepherding was in perpetuity. You made a commitment forever to the sheep until death. And then the sheep had new sheep and the sheep had new sheep and the sheep had new sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and look what you've got. And no one is going to snatch them out of my hand. In fact, read on. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You get that? And then the last wonderful words, I and the Father are one. This commitment that we have to the sheep. This commitment that he has to the sheep. I know my own, and he owes no, and his own know me. The fact that Jesus Christ knows us, he is intimately acquainted with all of us. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 100, Psalm 79. So we, your people, and the sheep of your, so we, your people and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. To all generations, we will tell of your praise. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. And that's why you have in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The God-like, the God, the good shepherd, the God shepherd. The Lord shepherds me and I shall not want. Let's read on. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Why does he do this? Because he knows me. He cares for me. He is committed to me. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil because he doesn't desert me, for you are with me, your rod protecting me, your staff helping me. They comfort me. In fact, you even prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When there are those that will try to harm me, when there are the cats out there that are trying to harm me, when there are mountain lions that will try to harm me, you prepare a table. You feed me. You nourish me. You guide me. You care for me. You help me. You will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of this Lord who is my shepherd forever and ever. So let's take it a step further now. I told you that in the Middle East, not always in other countries, but in the Middle East, lambs were not used for food. They were used for perpetuity. So I want to just show you an example. I want to show you an example about cows. You have a cow. You have cows, and they're being controlled by a wrangler, right? How much do you think those wrangler knows those cows? They have no interest in the cows. You know why? Because the cows are going to death. They're going to be slaughtered. Remember that slide? Remember that show? Any of you remember? Hello, are you with me this morning? I feel like you're a little dead. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Amen? Roll 'em, roll 'em, roll 'em, though they're disapproving. Keep them doggies moving rawhide. Don't try to understand them. Just rope and row and brand them. Did you hear what I just said? Don't try to understand them. Just the opposite of the sheep. Just the opposite of sheep. Don't try to understand them. Just rope and row and brand them. Just keep them doggies moving rawhide. You're going to sing it with me now. Come on. Roll them, roll. Can I join the choir? Can you sing that next Sunday? I'll wear a cowboy hat. Roll them, roll them, roll them. Keep them. Do you hear what I just said? Do you understand what I'm talking about? What do they do with cows? They whip them. They whip them. They yell at them. They don't care about the cows. They're going to slaughter. My friend, that's not the way it is with us. That's why he says, I've come to give life and give it abundantly. That's why I've come to prepare a place for you. That's why I have your interest. I'm committed to you in perpetuity. I am the God shepherd. Don't try to understand them. I'm going to try everything I can to understand you, Rotman. Just rope and row and brand them. I'd never do that to you, Rotman. I'd never rope and row and brand them. I don't rope and row and brand my sheep. What a thought to the shepherd. Just rope and row and brand them. Just keep them doggy. The difference in the cow to slaughter and a sheep for perpetuity. But we are the sheep. We're not called cows. We're called sheep. In fact, you remember the movie City Slicker? Anybody? Raise your hand. You saw City Slicker. Anybody see? Okay. Don't be slow. I don't got much time. Remember in City Slicker? It's a very funny movie. And Billy Crystal goes out and he's stressed at work and he wants to be a cowboy. And he gives birth to a cow. Remember, doesn't he? He gives birth to a cow. He doesn't give birth, but I mean, he helps the cow give birth. Now I got to have a wife. No, and what happens? And when he's thinking about, this is a cow. I was there. I gave birth. I was there to see it give birth. I helped pull him out of his mother. He doesn't kill that cow. He brings the cow home. What do we have here? I got brought home a gift for the kids. You see, he became a shepherd. He wasn't a wrangler anymore. He had an interest in that cow. I can't let this cow go to slaughter. I gave birth. Imagine. Now you multiply that by 1,000 when Jesus Christ has become the light to us and given birth to us. This is what I say. I am the light of the world is the transforming power that Jesus changes us. I am the bread of life is that transforming power that Jesus nourishes us. And I am the good shepherd is that transforming power that Jesus who changed us and Jesus who feeds us is the same Jesus who will lead us. And my friend, you need leading. You need help. You need every day of your life to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do I do here? What do I do or what do I not do? You need to trust this shepherd. You need to rely upon this shepherd. You need to look upon the shepherd. Your eyes need to make contact with his eyes. You need to make very sure that you hear his voice. You hear his voice. You hear his voice and your earlobes are very much tuned into him to listen to him. That's why the IMs are the way they are. He changes us. He nourishes us. He will guide us. And I don't care if you're 100 years old, you still need guidance. You still need guidance. As long as you're in this flesh, you'll need the guidance and the voice and the leading of the Son of God to help you and to guide you and to minister to you. Let's go a step further. He's the good shepherd because he owns the sheep. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is hired hand and not concerned for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me. Imagine that the God shepherd, the good shepherd, knows absolutely every molecule of your body, every thought. The thoughts you have, Lord, you know them even before I even utter. God knows everything about you psychologically, physically, mentally, spiritually. God knows every fear that you have. God knows every aspiration you have. God has taken his hand as the shepherd, and he is constantly going over and over and over your skin for any slight defect, any slight module, any slight impurity, anything, 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 anything. Remember what the shepherd, when he founds a sheep, he picks them up and puts them on his shoulders. Even as the Father knows me, how much does the Father know Jesus Christ? How much does God the Father know God the Son? And I know God the Father, Jesus says, and I lay down my life for these sheep. There's a wonderful passage in Isaiah 40. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. And then he describes it. In his arms, he will carry the lambs and carry them in his bosoms. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Imagine how tender. In his arms, he will carry the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead them, lead the nursing ewes. You know, I'm going to show you what I consider is the most wonderful, a wonderful description of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has been healing people. And Matthew writes, these things, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold my servant. In fact, I'm going to say, behold my shepherd, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. And then you have this description. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to mercy. I mean, do you realize this is a description of Jesus Christ? A battered reed. I mean, here you've gone through difficulty. Here you've gone through physical needs. Here you've gone through emotional needs. I mean, here you've been battered. You're battered. And it says a battered reed. Here is this reed in the marsh, and it's broken off. And he says, a broken reed he will not break off. You know what Jesus does? He picks up that reed very gently, and he puts his hand where it's been broken, and he keeps his hand there until it's been grafted back. You realize this is the description of Jesus. A battered reed. My friend, the church will blast you. The pastors can blast you. The world can blast you. But Jesus says he doesn't break you. He lifts up that battered reed. He will not break it off. And a smoldering wick. Here you are, a smoldering wick. Here there's more smoke than fire. And you know, we'll go in there. And Jesus says, come on, come on, come on. He puts his hand around that little smoldering wick. Look, come on, come on. Don't breathe, angels. Don't breathe. You'll puff it out. Don't breathe. Now a vibrant light. Look at the description. A battered reed he will not break off. A smoldering wick he will not put out. He leads justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. Then you have these wonderful verses. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and I will come and pray to you. Pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you in all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Well, let's go a step further. Jesus is the good shepherd because he not only knows us, but he also, the good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. Remember what Paul says, you've been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. And notice, I want to show you something interesting. Notice, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down. It's present tense. He doesn't say the good shepherd will lay down. because he hadn't done it yet. He could have said, the good shepherd will lay down. He doesn't say the good shepherd laid down. Why is it in the present tense? Because, my friend, you need someone that's committed to you every day. You need guidance every day. You need leading every day, because we're dumb and vulnerable and frightful and prone to ignorance. I think it's amazing that he uses the present tense. He lays down his life. Is the commitment to us is there every day for us. Just the way we need his help, we need his guidance, we need his present tense help, he gives us his present tense commitment to us. This is the present tense commitment of Jesus Christ to each one of you, as you are the sheep of his pasture. Can I repeat that again? This is the present day commitment, the present day commitment that Jesus, the God Shepherd, makes to you as you are the sheep of his pasture. He lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may also take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I've received from my Father. Now, let me tell you something interesting about cows again, because I read this. You know the one country where there are more cowboys than the United States, or as many, the next country that has as many cowboys as the United States? Argentina. You know, there's a big cattle industry in Argentina. Lots of cowboys. And this is what happens in Argentina. In Argentina, if you are a wrangler and you have a herd of cows taken to the slaughter, and you come to a big stream or you come to a big river, it's 99% likely that it's going to be filled with piranhas. We don't have piranhas. You know what piranhas are? These fish. And they can devour something in a matter of minutes. And this is what they do in Argentina. I read this. What they do is they take one of the cows, they take it upstream, they put it into the water, and all the piranhas go and feed on that cow. And while that's happening, they bring the herd over completely. They sacrifice a cow that's going to slaughter to save the other sheep, the other cows that are ultimately going to be slaughtered too. Can you imagine a shepherd ever doing that? Never. If you'd asked a shepherd, well, why don't you take one of your sheep, throw him in the water there, watch him squirm and scream and everything, and watch. Isn't it interesting, the difference between herding and shepherding? The whole different concept. God is not out to sacrifice us. God is out to sacrifice the shepherd. The shepherd. Look at this. The next day he saw Jesus, and behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. This is Isaiah 53. Yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So he did not open his mouth. And then you read in Revelation, wonder of wonders. For this reason they are before the throne of God, and they will serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no more or thirst any more, and nor will the sun beat down on them any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Wow. The shepherd became a lamb to become our shepherd. The sheep, who thought they were the shepherd, realized they were the sheep, but not sacrifice sheep. The Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Wonder of wonders. Wow. Wow. Jesus asked not to sacrifice the sheep, but Jesus, who was the shepherd, did that for us. And then he gives us this wonderful truth. Let's go a step further. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Who are these other people he's talking about? The Gentiles. Here in Matthew 2, it says, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then in Matthew 12, when it talks about the bruised reed, and in his name all the Gentiles will hope. And then you have in Ephesians chapter 2 this great truth. Follow with me very quickly. I'll be done here in 2 minutes. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. Here the Jews that were circumcised call you the uncircumcised, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you that formerly were far off, You've been brought near by the blood of Christ, and he himself is our peace, having made both groups into one and broken down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity. This is the sacrifice of Christ, which in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he himself he might make of the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. He is talking to Grace Church in Mesa, Arizona. He's not talking to me. I'm a Jew. Jesus came for the Jew. But Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. The Gentiles from every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus says, I have other sheep, and I lay down my life for those sheep as well. And from the two sheep, the Jew and Gentile, he makes one new man. One new man. Look what he says. He might both into one body to God through the cross by having put together the enmity. He came to preach peace to you that were far off, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. And through him we have both one access into one spirit to the Father. You are no longer Gentiles, strangers, or aliens. You are fellow citizens with the Jews, with the saints, and are of God's own household. You've been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body, Jews and Gentiles, fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together in a dwelling into the Spirit. Amen? My friend, this is the God. Only God could do this. Only God could take an enmity between Jew and Gentile and break it down and bring one new person out of it. One new person out of it. Now, lastly, Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. But after his resurrection, he's not called the Good Shepherd. Look at here in Hebrews. And now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal. Now Jesus is the great shepherd. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You know, we have a commander in chief. This is the shepherd in chief. This is the chief shepherd. And let me just conclude in this. In John 10, Jesus, and when he enters the door, by the door is the sheep of the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them his own sheep by name and leads them out. He puts them forth of his own. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow them because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. You know what the one word that's used in those verses, more than any other words than shepherd and sheep are? It's the word voice. They know my voice. They don't know the voice of a stranger. What does the voice of Jesus sound like? I'm asking you a question. What does the voice of Jesus sound like? Is it a high voice? Is it a low voice? I'm asking you. The point is, do you hear his voice? That's the point. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear his voice? Do you feed upon him? Do you gnaw upon him? And do you hear him and listen to him? I'm not talking about a Pastor Sam's sermon. Don't hear his voice through my voice. I want you to hear his voice. I want you to hear his voice. You hear his voice. Another voice they will not hear. My friend, what does Jesus' voice sound like? What does it sound like? Do you hear his voice? My friend, Jesus leads you. Jesus wants to guide you. Trust him. Rely upon him. Commit yourself to him because he is the good shepherd. And he laid down his life for you, for the sheep. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for what you've given to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is our good shepherd. May we ever, never doubt him. May we never trust him, but may we trust him wholly, all for us to do. Those who trust him wholly, find him wholly true. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in his love.